Functioning robots are all alike. Every malfunctioning robot malfunctions in its own way. Everything was in confusion in the Oblonskys' house. The wife had discovered that the husband was carrying on an intrigue with the French girl who had been a mécanicienne in their family, charged with the maintenance of the household's Class 1 and 2 robots. Stunned and horrified by such a discovery, the wife had announced to her husband that she could not go on living in the same house with him. This position of affairs had now lasted 3 days, and not only the husband and wife themselves, but all the robots in the household were terribly affected by it. The Class 3s were keenly aware of their respective masters' discomfort, and the Class 2s sensed in their rudimentary fashion that there was no logic in their being agglomerated together, and that any stray DCOMs, junkering in a shed at the Vladivostok RPF, had more in common with one another than they, the servo mechanisms in the household of the Oblonskys. The wife did not leave her own room. The husband had not been at home for 3 days. The two Governess D-145, its instruction circuits pitifully mistuned, for 3 days taught the Oblonsky children in Armenian instead of French. The usually reliable 2 footman CC-43 loudly announced non-existent visitors at all hours of the day and night. The children ran wild all over the house. A 2 coachman 47T drove a sledge directly through the heavy wood of the front doors, destroying a 1-hour protector 14 that had been a prized possession of Oblonsky's father. 3 days after the quarrel, Prince Stepan Arkadych Oblonsky, Steva as he was called in the fashionable world, woke at 8 o'clock in the morning, not in his wife's bedroom, but within the oxygen-tempered Class 1 comfort unit in his study. He woke as usual to the clangorous thump, thump, thump of booted robot feet crushing through the snow as a regiment of 77s tromped in lockstep along the avenues outside. "Our tireless protectors," he thought pleasantly, and uttered a blessing over the ministry as he turned over his stout, well-cared-for person, as though to sink into a long sleep again. He vigorously embraced the pillow on the other side and buried his face in it, but all at once he jumped up, banging his rotund forehead against the glass ceiling of the 1 Comfort 6, and opened his eyes. He suddenly remembered that he was not sleeping in his wife's room, but in his study. And why? The smile vanished from his face. He knitted his brows. Small Steva, Stepan Arkadych's Class 3 companion robot, clomped happily into the room on his short, piston-actuated legs, carrying his master's boots and a telegram. Steva, as yet unprepared to undertake the day's obligations, bid his Class 3 come a bit closer, and then swiftly pressed 3 buttons below the rectangular screen centred in small Steva's midsection. He sat back glumly in the 1 Comfort 6, while every detail of his quarrel with his wife was displayed on small Steva's monitor, illuminating the hopelessness of Steva's position and, worst of all, his own fault.
"Yes, she won't forgive me. And she can't forgive me," Stepan Arkadych moaned when the memory ended.
Small Steva made a consoling chirp and piped,
"Now, master, she might forgive you."
Steva waved off the words of consolation.
"The most awful thing about it is that it's all my fault. All my fault, though I'm not to blame. That's the point of the whole situation."
"Quite right,"
small Steva agreed.
"Oh, oh, oh,"
Steva moaned in despair, while small Steva motored closer, angled his small, squattish frame 35 degrees forward at the midsection, and rubbed his domed head in a cat-like gesture against his master's belly. Stepan Arkadych then recued the memory on the monitor and stared desolately at the most unpleasant part. The first minute when, on coming, happy and good-humoured from the theatre, with a huge pear in his hand for his wife, he had found his wife in her bedroom, viewing the unlucky communique that revealed everything. She, his dolly, forever fussing and worrying over household details, supervising the mechanicienne, limited in her ideas, had been sitting perfectly still while the incriminating communique played on the monitor of her Class 3, Dolichka, and looking at him with an expression of horror, despair, and indignation. Dolichka, despite the rounded simplicity of her forms, appeared equally distraught, and her perfectly circular peach-coloured eyes glowed fiercely from her ovoid silver faceplate.
"What's this?"
Dolly asked, gesturing wildly toward the images displayed upon Dolichka's midsection. Stepan Arkadych, as is so often the case, was not so much annoyed at the fact itself as at the way in which he had met his wife's words. What happened to him at that instant happens to people when they are unexpectedly caught in something very disgraceful. He did not succeed in adapting his face to the position in which he was placed toward his wife by the discovery of his fault. Instead of being hurt, denying, defending himself, begging forgiveness, instead of remaining indifferent even, anything would have been better than what he did do, his face utterly involuntarily, reflex spinal action, reflected Stepan Arkadych, who from his work at the ministry understood the simple science of motor response, utterly involuntarily assumed its habitual, good-humoured, and therefore idiotic smile. Still worse, small Steva emitted a nervous, high-pitched series of chirps, clearly indicating a guilty thought string. Dolly shuddered as though at physical pain, broke out with her characteristic heat into a flood of cruel words, and rushed out of the room, Dolichka springing pneumatically along behind her. Since then, Dolly had refused to see her husband.
"But what's to be done? What's to be done?" he said to small Steva in despair.
But the little Class 3 had no answer.